and welcome to Crit Club, the podcast where four friends watch movies from the Criterion Channel streaming service that none of them have seen before. I'm your host, Angela, and with me as always is Corey.
Hello.
Peter.
Hey, that's me.
And Wizard Chris.
Hello, hello, hello.
After a few episodes of Jury European Malaise, we're headed to vibrant Morocco for an unexpected tale of love, forgiveness, and acceptance. We're watching The Blue Caftan, an Arabic language film by Mariam Touzani about a couple who own a custom caftan shop in Saleh, Morocco, not far from Rabenne. The pressures are many, demanding clients who wish for custom handicraft to be made faster and for less money, the need for additional employees to keep the work moving along, who never seem to stay at this shop. They hire a new apprentice named Youssef, and it becomes clear over time that this couple copes with problems far more complicated than just making stunningly embroidered custom blue caftans for picky clients. The wife, Mina, played by Luna Azabal, is gravely ill. Halim, played by Salah Bakri, is a closeted gay man living in restrictive Islamic culture. And Youssef, played by Avoub Missoui, is a former orphan who wants to make his way through the world with integrity. This film is not in the collection as part of the Criterion Channel's offerings. Please catch it while you can. This film was featured in Cannes under the En Certain Regard category in 2022. I chose this film because I'm an obsessed knitter, and I was instantly intrigued by the notion of a blue caftan and yet had no idea what the story might be about. Seeing the image of the couple in the promotional posters made me feel like this was my kind of story. But is it the kind of story that Corey, Peter, or Wizard might like? Let's find out.
Man, let me tell you, one second,
yeah.
Between you, Angela, and Wizard last week, we're nailing these intros. This is great. That was perfect.
Oh, Peter, that means a lot because you actually raised the bar on them. Like, your intros, actually, like, I felt the need to bring it. So, thank you.
I love it, Angela. Oh, it's so good. Sorry. Well, carry on. That was just great. I enjoyed every minute of that. Every second of that was great.
That's high praise. I would love to actually, let's go first with Peter today. I would really love to know what you thought of this movie.
Moi? You know, we talk about Wizard picks and Angela picks. I really do feel like, Angela, you and I have some of the most parallel pickings in general. Let's see, what do I think about this movie? I really loved it. I really enjoyed it. I think this was a very good drama, very tight little story, very endearing characters, extremely well portrayed. I think the actors were incredible. I think the colors were wonderful. I think this was a really, really wonderful drama. I think, I don't know if it was perfect. I have questions that I'm excited to talk to you all about with the story and the characters and how they were portrayed within it. And then I think I was kind of wrestling a little bit with wondering what new this brought to my sensibility, like to my experience. Or how do I say that? I was wondering about like what was unique or what was new about this experience. And I'm not sure that there was too much to my impression of it. It was rather I found it to be a story that I've seen. A story that I've seen parts of before, but that didn't stop this from being extremely well told and extremely well portrayed. I was really captivated by this movie, and I thought it was just a lovely pick. And I'm always on board for an Angela pick.
Thank you, Peter. Oh boy. Oh, I don't want to leave Corey for last this time. Sorry, Wizard. Because I want to balance out that glowing review with what could right. possibly be one about long, awkward pauses in films.
Make the complaint sandwich here. This is a good movie. It's a good movie. Okay. It's well done.
Mm-hmm.
It's a well made movie. However, I think, you know, I was remembering the comments that you made last week, Angela, about Wages of Fear, where you were like, this is not the kind of movie that I want to be watching right now, but I can acknowledge that it's a good movie. I, however, will not be as charitable in my my rating of this as you were to Wages of Fear.
That's fine.
Because this is just, like, not a Corey movie. Like, if there are similarities between Peter and Angela Pix, this is not a Corey movie. It reminded me a lot of Solaris, which I guess we just realized it was one of the Crit Club lost episodes. We recorded an episode about Solaris and lost the files on it and weren't able to release it. But I'm sure it's a famous movie and it's had a remake and all that stuff. So people might be familiar with it.
And we have seen it.
But it reminded me of Solaris in that...
intelligently.
Yeah, but it's
I think about it often.
Yeah, but it's another just like absolutely slow as molasses, really, really, really slow movie that also had like punctuated with like cool stuff and fun and stuff to like keep me involved. And not that the movie here was like fun or whatever, but it was like engaging, I guess. So there were parts of it that were like engaging despite its, you know, very what's the polite word to say slow,
languid,
slow.
Languid.
Languid, right. Yeah.
But that's not the movies that I watch. That's not the media that I like. All these people were like the three main cast, like I just have to say, were like incredibly beautiful people. Like I could not
Yeah, they were.
Like they're all extremely attractive. And it's beautifully shot. And I like the message, you know, the message is a message I can get behind. Also, like, they don't say this in the movie, but I was just like, you know, looking it up. I'm like, what are the LGBTQ laws in Morocco and stuff? And it is illegal there. You will go to jail. And so I think that that's like some hidden stakes that weren't, you know, directly addressed here and may have escaped, you know, like audiences that, you know, weren't watching it. But it's also interesting that this movie was picked by the official picking board to represent Morocco at the Oscars in 2022 for, you know, best foreign international film or whatever. So, you know, even despite that, you know, this type of human existence is illegal in Morocco, still the official board, you know, picked it, which I think is, you know, good and bold and great of them. At the end of the day, though, this is a 2-hour movie that could have been done in 45 minutes, maybe a half an hour. And I was pretty bored most of the time.
One trip to the bathhouse is rather than four.
Yeah, right.
This is a one bathhouse film, according to Corey.
Hey, I'm never going to tell anyone to not go to a bathhouse.
Get a steam. Live your life.
Wizard, tell me what you think of this film.
This film was exquisite. Absolutely wonderful. I was in tears watching it. I found it very moving and very affecting. It was sweet without being saccharine and like thoughtful without dwelling, like navel gazing. It was like tender and gentle and just, it was so good. It was so good. And I really, really enjoyed, yeah, as we've already said, like it is acted so well. And it just affected me very profoundly, I thought. We talked about it a bit beforehand, but, you know, from the opening shot, this is obviously an Angela pick, just like sensuous fabrics.
What's the opening shot?
Sensuous fabrics, oh, yeah. Like extreme close-ups of sensuous fabrics and hands.
Blue,
kind of
textural.
Like, and the whole movie is like that. It's very like, it is.
Everybody's whispering.
I'm trying to find a polite word for slow because I don't think it's slow. It is. It's rapturous and it's languid.
Spacious.
And, yeah.
Roomy.
God, I was really moved by, especially the lead actress's performance. She had like such strength and she was funny and tender and, oh man, I'm going to start up again. You know, and all that being said, I do see the point that like, I've seen a movie like this before. I've seen these elements at play. This is a very like small, you know, like kitchen drama kind of plot that, you know, again, that I've seen done in other movies, but this was done so very well, and I've had a wonderful time watching it. Real pleasure. What did you think,
Angela? How much did you hate the blue caftan?
Not at all.
Not enough nitroglycerin for Angela.
There was just enough nitroglycerin in this movie, as in there was zero. None right whatsoever. I mean, clearly, I adore this film, every single part of it. I mean, I actually agree with Corey and Wizard that I think it could have been cut, like 20 minutes could have been cut, and it would have...
Yeah,
it would have still been a great film, but I appreciate how much room they give us to inhabit. Like, I just love like a tone movie that puts you in an emotional space. I find that more engaging, and because I'm a super sensitive person, if you throw too much information at me, I shut down. So I appreciate like that. Many of the scenes are like being in the same room as these characters, like being like a ghost and listening and watching as they cope with some of these really profound issues.
And extremely rude customers.
And extremely rude customers. Entitled. Oh my gosh. Unappreciative, ungrateful.
These are talented craftspeople and the morons they have to talk to.
Well, and then the sadness that, you know, the incredible craft work that's going on here is actually dying off. That, you know, the main character, Halim, is like, well, there's just no one to do this anymore. They didn't pass this on. We can't fix this for you. That guy who used to do this is gone. Which makes the importance of this apprentice who is in their lives all the more important.
Mm-hmm.
I also loved how everything was revealed quietly, like in ways that in other films and American films would have been revealed within the first 10 or even 3 minutes. Things, really important things you did not know. Like you kind of got a sense that the wife character was ill, but you didn't know just how ill or what she was ill with until nearly 3/4 in the movie. And I was okay with that because I liked the mystery. And it also... It created this message that didn't make illness the center of the film, and that illness isn't what takes us over in life, that we still have to live when we are ill or unwell. I found that really sad and sweet at the same time.
I think it also speaks to the characters, you know, that they're not talking about this thing. I think that was a very strong, like, point of characterization in the film, is that, you know, we don't know about it until much, much later because it's something that they're not really engaging with.
Well, and I love that that's such a huge theme in the movie, because it's not just the illness that they're not talking about. They're also not really talking about the fact that Halim is gay, and that it seems like his wife knows and is aware, and watching like how he responds to the new apprentice. Then there's that conversation about how apprentices never seem to stay, which I'm just sort of like, that there's a story behind that, and I like not knowing the whole story, and that I can imagine what may have taken place in different situations. I also loved how they told the story of his queerness in terms of like being at the bathhouse and kind of showing who he interacts with and how. I thought that was a really poetic way to show that. This was cinematic poetry to me. Although Corey thinks that...
No, just every time a bathhouse scene came on, which there were many, every time one came on, I would just start singing Fuck the Pain Away. Fuck the Pain Away.
Great.
I like...
But I'm...
Oh, go ahead.
No. I think, you know, I adore this movie, and I would love to hear if anyone else had some favorite shots or scenes or sequences that, you know, Wizard, you said it made you cry. Tell me more about that.
Oh, man. Like,
I cried too. I mean, it's not just Wizard.
I did too.
We can get to
Corey
that.
Corey was quoting Peaches.
I'm just made
the
stone.
Rest.
I don't know.
I want to talk about the bathhouse.
Have I credited any of these movies?
Okay, do it. Let's do it.
I like I don't know exactly what to say, except that I enjoyed the way that these were staged as, like, you have these, like they did not shy away from these, like, very seedy bathhouse scenes. And in this kitchen sink kind of drama where there's, like, so much tenderness and so much kindness and so much beauty, they really, like, leaned into, like, the illicitness of what he is doing, the danger of what he's doing, and, like, it, you know, it made it seem it's something that I don't think you would see again in, like, an American film or something like that, where, like, this aspect of his sexuality and, like, the danger that it introduces and the fact that he has to go to these places that don't seem super nice to get that desire fulfilled. I thought the film did a really good job of sort of staging those and lighting and coloring and all that kind of stuff. And then the scene where Halim and Yusuf go to the bathhouse together just to get a rub down and a massage is, again, it's like bathed in, like, golden light, and they're like, just like the film.
They're lying on that floor. That looks so disgusting.
Touching pinkies. Yeah, Frida was touching, like, aren't they gonna get, like, athlete's foot all over their chest?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, this is how you get, like,
I assume like planner's warts cleaner elsewhere.
They were lying on the floor about that.
That makes a lot about me, like, so sad. Like, that was one of the most significant scenes in the whole film. These two guys are actually looking at each other. Like, in real way. Wait. Like, seeing each other, whereas, like, they weren't sure about each other, and, like, and the change in how Halim looked after being seen for who he was by someone else outside of the bathhouse, like, but now in the bathhouse, that was, like, that was so, like, I couldn't not cry, because it was, like, imagine being somewhere where you can't be yourself or acknowledge who you are in public to other people at all.
The way it was shot was just so funny, because, like, I was right there with you, Angela. I'm right there. I found it very moving. I found it very touching. And I'm hearing all these sounds, and I'm like, are they just getting a massage? Like, because it's all these very close-up shots on them and then their pinkies. And I'm just, like, really in that emotional space. And then they pull out, and it's like, oh, shit, they're just lying on the floor around all these other dudes scrubbing themselves. And I have to shower pretty often in a Planet Fitness, and it was like, oh, God, imagine laying on that. It's more about it's a me thing, not a this movie thing.
And we wonder why we have such overactive immune systems here in the United States. I'm just kidding.
Why on a bathhouse floor?
Can I talk about my not criticisms, my questions?
Yeah.
That I would have about this movie. Because I think there are a few things that stood out to me, but more about things that I wanted to hear if you all had thoughts on. Or not, because they weren't deal breakers, and I still really connected with this movie a lot. I think the smaller one is that I did find, I agree with you, Angela, that I thought everything that happened, this plot eased itself along, I think, in a very organic way. And I thought it was, I even though I probably could cut 10 minutes, 20 minutes from it, I think it still felt like everything was paced in a very satisfactory way. I think some of the language felt very overly heavy-handed and metaphorical, I think. Like, it seems like a lot of their conversations were like, you're talking about both things. You're talking about more things. You know, it's like, you know, everything seemed to be some sort of allusion or metaphor.
Subtext.
To their larger sort of marital stuff. Yeah, but it was like, but I don't know if it was fine. Like, it didn't bug me, but I was like, oh. Okay, this is also about everything else that's happening.
The entire movie is about that.
I felt a lot of
the
emotions. Yeah, I mean, I felt a lot of the emotions and emotional reactions and stuff to feel forced. I think that they were like still acted, like the scenes were still acted well, but the actual, like when you take a step back and it's like, wait, why is this guy quitting his job? Because he like just stood close to the other guy for like 2 seconds. And it's like, yeah, I can put the pieces together. It just kind of felt like a big reaction. And then people just kind of like start crying almost. And it feels like because the script said that this is the point where people should be crying. And I don't know. I just felt like a lot of
stuff
felt.
Are you talking about the Mina and Yusuf scene where she asked him to forgive her?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the most moving scenes.
No, I got that. Yeah. No, that got me.
Wait,
ask
to forgive her. No, that one, yes. But he starts crying when the guy like I get it. Like, he's repressed. Like, I understand. I don't know. There's, I don't know. That was just, I can't remember the exact things, what was happening. I just remember, like, the apprentice guy crying and Halim, like, going behind him at the door. And I wasn't entirely sure why the apprentice guy was crying at that point and stuff. I don't know.
Because again, I think at some point, well, first, I think he was upset and he left the shop because she accused him of stealing. And
that's not why he left, though. He stayed around.
He quits because he tells, because Yusuf tells Halim that he loves him, and Halim totally doesn't react at all. He tells him to pick up the thread and go home. Like, that's a big swing, and especially given all the meaningful looks that we've been enjoying and hand touching, like, this is...
He took a swing and he missed.
And it,
well, and it's,
he shot a shot. And
but he also doesn't know all the stuff that Halim knows. That, like, he, I thought that the tension between
Halim's...
Boy,
I love that scene.
Yeah. I thought that the tension between Halim's sexuality
I love that scene when he
and
comes
his
back.
Love for his wife is, like, nuts. Sorry, Peter.
I love the scene when he comes back to check. No, it's fine. When he comes back to check on him because the shop is closed, and that reinvigorates the whole thing. Like, that was, like, a really moving and beautiful scene. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe I can think of it as, like, staged and sort of, like, overtly scripted, but I thought it was lovely, and it got me. It touched me. Wait, my big problem. My big question. I don't have a problem, because I think they wormed their way out of it, and I don't know what to think about it, and I want to know if you all have any thoughts about this, because I know it's directed and written, at least co-written by a woman as well. There was a point in time, maybe 50-60% of this movie, where I was left thinking, this woman's sickness and impending death is all a plot propulsion for these men. And that felt maybe a little bit like, what is the trope, like fridging, like using, you know, like using a dead wife to you know, to motivate
spur
a character
drama
or whatever. Yeah. And that, like, I was like, let me finish. Like, so I definitely had that thought. I didn't end the movie having that thought. I think really, oh man, that scene of her mastectomy and their, like, closeness and with that, and just, I think, their relationship and how the three of them grew into a family together, I think that overrode my concerns. But that was through 50-60% of the movie. I was like, oh, this woman's sickness and death is only a propulsional, but, like, it seemed like it was a plot propulsion for these men, and that was, like, that had me thinking. But I didn't know if that struck any of you at all.
It didn't strike me. However, I was really invested in her story because she, from the beginning, seemed to have her own arc. And so I agree with you. Yeah. That is, that whole fridge thingy is something that happens, right? But that's when we don't give a character their own agency and existence within the whole story, that just coalesces the story together. And I felt like, and also, you know, Halim truly loves his wife. Like, this isn't about a guy who was just cheating. And this is about, like, deep conflict of two very different things existing in the same space, that seemingly might not. You can love your wife and still be a gay guy, for sure.
Man, you know, you're right.
And I think that was part of the story, was her also accepting that and her role in it. One of my favorite scenes, actually, was when she took him to, like, the very traditional male cafe, right? Mm-hmm.
Love it.
And
smoking,
you could just
drinking coffee.
See, like,
and
how
they're
much...
laughing. Oh, that felt so real. That felt so true.
Such a beautiful scene.
I don't know.
You're right. Like, I talk all the time. I say this. I've said this on the show. I don't know how many times that, like, all I want from a movie is to surprise me, to, like, take me on a journey where I don't really know where I'm going, and then I'm on for the ride and I'm there. And I think that this movie did it. I think it's, like, not the usual sort of movie that does it. But I think at the beginning of this movie, you see the threads, you see the characters, you see, like, the hidden subtext, and you're like, okay, this is, you know, this is this sort of, like, tension and drama that's going to unfold. But I think it continued to surprise me. And I think she was the catalyst that continued to surprise me. Like, her compassion, her love, her, like, asking, you know, Yusuf to forgive her. And, like, I think that this movie continued to surprise me with all of its actual extension of unconditional love and respect and like mutual compassion. It's a really good movie.
Like, she wasn't perfect, right? She fucked up. She was like, she smoked. Cause maybe she smoked. She was jealous of that, of her. I think she was jealous, and that's why she very was much, like, yeah. You stole this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And she, and, you know, we sort of get an inside look at, like, maybe why a whole bunch of people didn't last in this little shop. Like, she may have meddled and stuff. And I really didn't see it coming that she would own up to it. I loved it. There were so many things that I didn't see coming that happened by the end of the movie that I was surprised. Yeah,
I didn't feel surprised by this movie at all.
I felt surprised.
You didn't think that at the beginning it would be just big high drama as this comes to light and they all split apart and
No, I mean when the first bathhouse scene happens, it's like, oh, it's just like it's the inciting incident or whatever. It's like, oh, this is what the movie is about.
Yeah, so I think the acceptance part is the thing that surprised me. I didn't think that the acceptance and this found family.
When he was like confessing to her and stuff on her deathbed, I was like saying like, "No, dude, just let her go, let her pass away. You don't have to confess this."
But that was such a lovely scene.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, so yes, in that sense, I was a little surprised at her reaction to that. Yeah. I guess because
that's what I'm talking about.
My instinct was saying like, "No, don't." But so yeah, it was nice that she.
And I mean, how they brought Yusuf into their family, and it became the family of them. Like they became the unit. Like I didn't expect that. Like at the first 20 minutes of this movie, that's not where I saw this movie going. And it was that's what I mean by that.
I mean, I did not expect this turning into like a sort of pseudo polyamorous story. Honestly, like they accepted everyone exactly where they were. And she ended up having like the most support in her death. And after her death, like that ending part, like I did not see that coming. And I loved how simply they made them seem kind of outside of the realm of Islam just through the choices that they make. Like, no, she didn't have the parade of people and the clerics following her in this
or the traditional garb.
Yeah, I thought it reminded me of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Like, these people are going to walk the world their way in this gorgeous, beautiful blue caftan. It was, and I actually, this is the first time where, like, I did not see it coming. I did not believe that she would be buried or laid to rest in the caftan until they were actually doing it.
I cannot accept that. I absolutely loved this movie. It did surprise me, but the second we find out that she's sick, you bet your ass I knew that she was getting buried in that caftan.
Yeah.
The blue death shroud.
As soon as she was sick, I was like, oh, that's the movie.
I didn't know.
She
didn't
is the caftan.
Yeah, my partner who was with me was like, oh, yeah, that caftan. And I was like, oh.
You think that jerky customer was going to go home with it? Nah.
Nah, fuck her.
It was nice.
Wait, but that reminds me of another. It reminds me of another thing that I really, truly loved about this. And this is just one of my nerd facets is I fucking love process. And I love fucking just the word process was something I thought of a lot about. And about I would have loved more of that. But I still think that they gave so much attention to detail about this, you know, what was the Malem? What was his like title? As sort of like a tailor or.
Oh, crap.
I don't know. Like textile worker, but I really just absolutely loved like how many stages of this you saw and the dedication and time and patience, like its own, you know, him hand sewing some of this embroidery, you know, it's due in a movie that has so much spaciousness and patience. But I love like that little thing of like Yusuf. The little scene of shot of Yusuf like spindling the thread against his leg. Like there's just these elements of process that made this, that elevated this movie to make it feel so much truer to me. Like this felt like a very lived in movie in many ways. And I think the dedication to showing this process was one way that it heightened that veracity for me. Great movie.
Yeah, I have a note in here that just says, "Do you like watching people sewing?"
It turns out I did. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and I figured. I bet Angela will. Yeah, I bet Angela does.
It was fascinating. But no, but it's
I don't know how any of that stuff does, and that's amazing that these painstaking things take this much time and effort. Yeah,
this movie is probably the first time I saw someone hand twist thread. So that's a point for the movie, I think.
Well, and Peter, you said that you've seen bits and pieces of this movie in other ways and that this didn't seem novel to you or a new way to do things. And I actually disagree because I feel I haven't seen enough stories of queerness in other cultures where it is strictly forbidden, made by the people who live there. And sure. For me, that was quite refreshing. And I would like to see more of that.
No, I think that gets back to what Corey was saying. Is I think that if you live in Morocco, this does tell that. I think there's a lot of these cultural sort of subtexts that are absolutely there that I'm just ignorant to, And so to me, this was a queer drama, which I will never, I've definitely enjoyed most of them that I've seen. And as well as a marital drama, I don't know, it just felt like a number of parts about it. And I'm sure that whatever uniqueness this film probably has, I'm missing just because of my limited cultural perspective.
I also like that this is a story about a couple and there are no kids involved. Just throwing that out there.
yeah, fuck kids.
I do also, I guess the one thing that did feel different to me, and Angela, you had touched on this, was I guess everybody sort of has, but Angela, you had sort of said the acceptance of her at the end did most movies would lean into the conflict, pretty heavily. I mean, that's what most movies are going for, is conflict in every scene, conflict, and so having that be her reaction, and I also really did love the scene where she's just like, hey, you two, you smell, go to the bathhouse. That really did feel and you had mentioned polyamory, it felt like a ethical non-monogamy type of thing where it's go have fun with the other person. It's
touch
almost
pinkies.
Go touch pinkies with that other person. It's okay. I don't know. That scene felt, good and almost sort of refreshing because it's not how I think a lot of movies would handle the, conflict and stakes and characters that have been set up here.
This is what I was saying about the surprising of I think I felt that the first time, because I forget what circumstances it was, but that Halim and Mina were joking around and laughing because it felt so true and real. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so this really is a very layered, complicated relationship that's not going to hinge on this one fact creating the drama, and the movie will be about reacting to the drama. Mm-hmm. I guess that's more about what I'm talking about, how this movie surprised me.
They have a much bigger relationship than this one thing.
It was deeply complex. You really get a sense of these people who have been together probably a long time. They're not old people or anything like that, but they're in the middle of their lives, and just the movie does such a good job of showing this lived in, really loving relationship. The scene where he sort of talks to her about being gay and how he's been handling that. I mean, the movie is surprising in the sense that other movies probably would have gone the other way and it would have been more conflict. But in the context of the film, again, the performances are so strong that she loves this man and that this is something that she knows about and also accepts and embraces.
Accepts
that.
But still has complicated feelings.
Complicated
you can
feeling,
tell
yes.
it's not like black and white. There's a nuance there that felt real to me.
Well, she's jealous, right? And when you see them together, you kind of understand why, because they're great together. I don't know.
Yeah. What else? What was the other thing? Oh God, it's slipping my brain. Rah, 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 rah. Oh,
I've never been to a bathhouse.
No. Me neither.
That's a great one in San Francisco.
You remembered it.
It was a great Russian
one. I would love to. There's lots of them in Jersey and
Russian spas. They give you the brand. They give you the hats to put on and the branches to like beat each other with. Like,
yeah, I'd love to. I'm not going by myself though. Angela, you remembered. Sorry,
I did remember.
What were you saying?
There was some issue with their marriage. Like, his father wouldn't sign off on the marriage. And so I think they didn't have actual marriage papers, because you remember when they're coming home from the cafe, they were stopped and they that's needed right, to yeah, show them, yeah. proof of their marriage, because like it's I mean, that's how repressive it is. Like, you can't even have sex with a woman who you are not married with, and they are checking in the streets. And I just found that kind of interesting.
I must have missed that part. I thought that was confusing.
It was a little confusing, but I liked that, you know, they were sort of talking about how his father didn't approve of the marriage, but he married her anyway.
She proposes to him.
That's right. So it's very charming. Yeah.
How do you all think this movie stacks up to the other movie set in Morocco about love and sacrifice? I think it's called Casablanca.
Fewer Nazis.
I like looked up
many fewer Nazis.
So I had gone through my entire life without ever seeing Casablanca. I just missed it. I know. And so within the last year, I've watched it twice, because I'm finally going to sit down and watch Casablanca. And
do you like it?
I was like, I loved it. Like, it's amazing.
It's great.
It's really good. I watched it.
It's a beautiful movie.
Yeah, I watched it, and then like 6 months later, I was like, I have to watch Casablanca again.
That's kind of how people feel about Casablanca.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a beautiful movie. Sorry, didn't mean to derail for this joke.
We should watch it, actually, before our 50th retrospective, and maybe see how we all feel about Casablanca. Sort of like how we feel about John Cassavetes.
I've also never seen Gone with the Wind. That's on my watch list.
I have no interest in seeing that again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This movie made me think of a movie I saw last year, and it's an Iranian movie. So Arabic put on, but you know, far east of where this is. But also it was, I'm not sure what to say about this movie. The movie's called Holy Spider. But the reason I thought about it during watching Blue Caftan was it was about sort of the lengths people go within a repressive society, and how it steers people into actions or inactions, because the movie Holy Spider is about it's based on like a true story. It's fucking terrifying, about a serial killer who is killing sex workers because Allah told him, and it's, you know, it's like it's just really these repressed sort of actions and like living them out, and this man becomes like a local hero for doing his work. I don't know. I don't really have much to say about it. I probably shouldn't have even brought it up, but it was like, I think the one thing that I did, I agree with you, Angela, about this movie, was seeing this type of story play out in this type of culture, which I haven't seen very often, and I would be very happy to see more.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyone else have anything else to say?
Oh my God, so much. I wanted to talk a little bit about how the movie deals with illness and dying. I found so much tenderness and so much beauty in the parts of the film that deal with Mira, with her illness. You know, and the way that like affects people. Like, I thought the scenes where we kind of see them at home as her illness is progressing, like the food stacking up and like, you know, shop has been closed for a week, and you know, just the movie kind of implies that there are just parts of the day where they just kind of spend all day in bed, because that's where they can be. You know, I have some personal experience with dealing with a loved one with cancer, and I saw those things and was reminded of those things. And I wanted to make sure that when we talk about this movie, we definitely mention that, like, you know, theme of death plays pretty strongly, and the film handles it with this really, like, gentle touch. You know, inspiring and like a lot of the movie, like very real. It felt very real. And very sweet. It was a very sweet movie. Anyways, that's all. I wonder if you guys had any thoughts about how that came together.
I really loved the part where she actually died because they aren't in the same room with her, and it's just like the wisp of a curtain from the wind or something. And that could be construed as cheesy, but I thought it was very sweet and simple. And I adored the part. Is it ready to kind of go to the end of the movie where we describe, if in case you don't like spoilers and you want like
we spoil all the time.
I really like, because I didn't see it coming that Halim has Mina in her shroud, and she's being attended to by these ladies who do this all the time. And he starts disrobing her shroud. And you're just kind of like, is he going to hug her or kiss her? Because he's sad. Everyone else but me knows that he's like taking this apart so he can put her in the blue caftan. I loved that it was a very simple rejection of this kind of organized religion, that this way that they were doing this was not celebrating her life. It was not celebrating how much she meant. She was a Muslim. She did pray throughout the movie. And it was interesting kind of see how her prayers changed over the movie, though I can't remember specifics around that. But it was very satisfying to see her have a different funeral than the one they saw coming through the streets earlier in the film.
Yeah, her funeral seemed kind of kick-ass.
Yeah, right? I hope I didn't derail any of your comments about, like, illness or sickness.
Oh, God, no. I think that's the point, you know, is that's part of the movie, is how it kind of deals with death and how, I don't know, how nice things can flourish in those moments, but also, like, you know, just it's hard work caring for people who are ill, and this is a movie about hard work.
I like the little hints of it at first. You know, I think that sort of showing like the first bathhouse scene was kind of like a, hey, here's this plot point, but like, for this one, it was a lot more slow and subtle. Like they don't even mention it at first, except that she, you know, wants to go out to this cafe and like she wants to like smoke cigarettes. It's like, smoke cigarettes or whatever. And it's like, now in retrospect, we realize that what his reaction was really about. It's like, oh, you have cancer and you want to smoke cigarettes. But like, we didn't know that at the time. So yeah, having that slow, I guess, reveal of it was, I don't know, it's graceful.
Graceful.
And then for a while, it's like you don't even know what's wrong. You just know something's wrong, but we don't know what is wrong.
Another thing I've said a lot on this show is, because I'm no stranger and I have nothing wrong with a slow, quiet movie. Fucking love him. Kelly Reichert's one of my favorite working directors now. But I think something I thought about towards the end of this movie is how much I felt it earned its silence. I felt like it earned its quiet. I think there are these moments when, you know, he's washing her hair or washing her feet or letting her, you know, suck on like a peel of a tangerine or whatever, where it's like, what is there to say? Like, you know, at this point in time, in this stage of this illness, in this stage of their relationship, like, what would they be talking about? What is the conversation like at that point? I felt like this movie earned its stillness in a very true and but also in a very caring way.
I don't know. I don't have much to say about it, but I really did enjoy seeing the food. Like, and how, like, the preparation of food and the selection, how careful she was in selecting tangerines. Do you remember that scene where she's touching every single one of them? And then the shopkeeper tries to, like, give her two more, and she's just, like, you know, kind of not having it. But
just as an aside, I was like, I wonder if this is, like, at all referencing the whole, like, thing with, like, The Godfather and the significance of oranges in The Godfather, because there's all these like theories about what do oranges mean? And like, does it mean that it's like, it's every scene before there's a murder, there's oranges and all that stuff. And like, and so I just like kind of like looked up or whatever. And it was like, I guess the official word is like, there's all these internet articles about what oranges mean in Godfather. And then like the actual like official thing by the like, person that made the movie is like, no, it's just that the sets were drab and we were trying to add some color.
Well, oranges are the contrasting color to that beautiful blue.
Right, that's true.
And so just color-wise, it was a nice contrast. And maybe he is associated with the blue and she is associated with the orange. I need to watch it again to really kind of dig deeper into that. And that, oh, okay, sorry, I'm not going to go, but I'm having ideas just about like, yeah. Anyway,
the man who is the orange and the woman who is the caftan, and they are both society. Is that right? Is that something?
Something like that. I don't quite know myself. So
that's a good piece of merch. That's a very silly film thing to say.
Any other closing thoughts?
Let's roll.
Okay. Oh boy, those of you who you're I don't know how many new listeners we're getting, although I hear recently so we may have convinced a few more people to listen. But if you are new here, we don't do just like a 5-star. We don't do like 1 out of 10. We are fancy and extra, and in honor of the Dungeons and Dragons 20-sided die, we roll on we grade on a 20. Sometimes you can have a critical hit, you can go 1 and have a critical fail, and everything in between. Corey has a whole system by which he assigns his numbers. if it's not worth his time, it goes under a 10. I don't know that I've created my own system yet.
But they are personal.
They're not very trying to be
objective. True neutral.
They're very subjective.
And we will be at our 50th show, which is it'll be after the official 50th show. Our 50 show retrospective, we will be looking at and hopefully releasing a spreadsheet of all of our ratings for each of the films, and we can. Oh, Peter says.
By the way, I'm gonna cut this out. Yeah, I don't want to promise that we're gonna.
I don't want to put pressure on you, Peter. Yeah. My bad.
No, but also I'm just thinking ahead production wise. Continue. Sure.
Anyway, yeah. So let's see. Who did I have first? I had Peter go first. Peter, how are you rolling on this?
Hello.
This film.
I don't know. I think when I finished it, I was thinking 15. It's like a solid 15. Mm-hmm. Really loved this. I think when we started talking, I was like, okay, this is definitely a 16. But I don't know how far up I can keep climbing. But I think I'm going to climb up to a 17. I think I'm going to land on a... Oh,
wow. That's what I gave wages
for. I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I'm going 16.
Okay.
Not because... I think as soon as I said 17, I was like, oh, I'm absolutely gonna say 16. This was like a proud 16, a proud strong 16 against a 10 AC enemy strikes home. But no, this was another amazing Angela pick that I will think about for a long time, and I'm really glad to have spent the time in this movie, and I thank you for that, Angela. So 16 for me.
Thank you, Peter. Corey, how bad was it? What are we rolling?
I mean, again, these are subjective, personal ratings. And I will reiterate that this is a good movie, and I can see why this is a good movie, and I can definitely see why people enjoy this movie. This is just not really a Corey movie. I think that as I was watching it, I was like, what am I going to give this? And I was at some points I was like down as low as a 6, because I was like picking up my phone with this movie and stuff, which I really, really try not to. But like, there were just some scenes where like a scene would start and I'd be like, oh, okay, nothing's going to happen for 5 minutes. I can, you know, check the doom scrolling. But talking with you all is always, you know, a good experience and makes me feel like maybe someday I can aspire to be less of a, you know, uncultured goon. So I think I'm feeling good around like an 8 for it, you know. 9. I'll give it a 9. Yeah.
How charitable. Wizard, how are you rolling on this?
You guys are maybe going to be surprised. Or maybe not. This is a solid 19 of a movie. It really got to me. And really, okay. I don't know. I have space in my heart next to like weird psychedelia and Vincent Price and shit for like quiet, like moving emotional dramas, movies about love and shit like that. Angela, I think one of your requirements for a critical hit is that the movie makes you cry. And this movie made me cry, like beautiful, beautiful, sad tears. It was shot well. It was acted so well. It's not even worth.
It was acted really well. I don't know if we've spent enough time on their on the actors themselves, but their performances were
so
really
wonderful.
Stunning. Sorry, didn't
no, no, of course it. The man who plays the actor who plays Halim, so much going on with him, and had such like a gentle, like beautiful voice. I found like very soothing. It's like a half whisper most of the time, but like everybody's performances were so great.
Here in Crit Club, we call that a Wizard Chris voice.
I give it a 19. It was really, really beautiful film. I had a great time watching it. So thank you for that, Angela, very much.
Oh boy. Wizard,
what about you, Angela?
You were half right about one of my criterias for like a 20 is a movie that makes me cry but makes me feel so happy about crying. Like it has to be like one of those. My all-time favorite thing in the theater is to be in a theater and just be practically sobbing but just elated and sublime. Like the sublime of the human condition, how complex and amazing it is, even in some of its worst times. And this is one of those movies. I was at a 19, but because Wizard went 19, I'm going 20. This is a crit for me.
This competition?
We should have like an audio sting for that or something, like a baseball bat crack and
holy
except
cow.
Without the sports, but not the sports.
Nat 20. Let's roll.
That's amazing. A 20. Lovely.
I'm giving it a 20 because I think it's a film that needs to be seen. Actually, I disagree that it shows that it's kind of rote or is showing us things we've already seen before. I know you didn't say rote, but I think it's unique and needs to be seen. I'm sad that it did not get nominated for the foreign language Oscar.
I thought it was for 2023.
It was shortlisted.
It to submit it.
Yeah. It was shortlisted, but not ultimately chosen to be nominated, which I think is a crime. I think it's one of the best films easily of that year. I like how quiet it is and poetic. And the characters are rich and nuanced and imperfect. And have their own full histories. And even though you don't see a ton of the city, you get a sense of it. And its oppression without being overwhelmed by the oppression. You are instead focused on the ways people are living within it. But still feel the threat at the same time. I want to see more movies from this director. The cinematographer, we haven't talked enough about the cinematography here. It is a female cinematographer, and there are not enough of those out there, and they need to be celebrated. It's hard work getting to be a female cinematographer. You think it's hard being a director, try being a female cinematographer. I adore this movie. It's easily in my top 20 of all-time films that I've ever watched. It's right there next to one of my other favorite films is Afterlife, which also dwells on death, interestingly enough, and I'll probably talk about it soon. Thank you for listening and watching it. It was, I didn't realize when I picked it just how magical it was. And it just so happened one of my other friends had wanted to see it because it was at our local African Film Festival. And so I was really thrilled to get to share it with someone really special. So it was a great movie. Did you like this movie? Did you watch this movie? I don't know that most people actually watch the movies we talk about, but that's okay. You can tell us about it at critclubpodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Instagram at critclubpodcast. We are also supposedly on Threads at critclubpodcast, but that place seems like a ghost town. Anywho, let us know what you think. But we do have another film coming up, and that will be Corey's selection. Corey, what are we going to watch next week?
I am going to pick Tempopo.
Whoa.
I know, I'm switching it up.
No, honey, I've already watched Tempopo.
I thought we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that I'd asked if people had seen it. Oh, you've seen it?
I've seen it. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. It's a spaghetti. It's a ramen.
Ramen Western. Oh, yeah. It looks so good.
I love it. It is so good. It's amazing. You should watch it.
All right. I'll go with Irma Vep then.
Oh, that's what I thought you were going to pick. Yay.
That's what I was planning on going. But then I thought that I had gotten it cleared that people hadn't seen Tempopo. And I watched the trailer for it. And I'm like, oh, I definitely want to watch this movie.
You should watch that movie.
But yeah, we'll watch Irma Vep then. It has a HBO.
Oh, you're so excited.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You should be excited. We should talk about Tempopo.
How long
have you? Has anyone else seen Tempopo?
No.
No.
What the? You guys, should I just pretend like I didn't?
Too late. It's committed.
I was tempted. I was real
posterity.
Tempted. But then people would know. There are people who listen to this show who know how much I love that movie.
Okay. All right. So yeah, we'll watch Irma Vep. It's got a somewhat recent 2022 miniseries that was created by HBO. And so go back and watch the original before watching the remake.
Right in time for spooky season.
Is it spooky?
Kinda.
Okay.
All right. So the next part of our show is called Whatcha Watchin', because there are things that we watch that aren't on the Criterion Channel. And so, Peter, what you've been watching?
Really quick, because we're going a bit long here. I've got three, because it's spooky season, and I've got to do at least two horror movies a day. And so I just pulled up three quick ones that were newly added to Shudder, but I know that you can find other places, but that I've watched in the past couple days. First is like a really fantastic found footage film called Hell House LLC, where a group of friends work on creating a haunted house in upstate New York. And boy, do things go wrong in that hotel. Very good, very effective. The next is something I've like watched a couple times because I do think it's just very entertaining and indelibly watchable. The Autopsy of Jane Doe. If you want to see Brian Corks step out of the boardroom of Roy Co. and into the shoes of a mortician on the worst night of his life, The Autopsy of Jane Doe is a really entertaining as hell movie. And then lastly, I'd never seen this before, but I watched a movie called Dead End from apparently 2003, which I was like, this movie is stupid. But then after 20 minutes, I was like, oh, this movie knows it's stupid. And the casting of Ray Wise is a key hint to how stupid this movie knows it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I had a really good time watching the very stupid movie called Dead End.
It looks like there's a bunch of
those.
Those
are on Shudder and other places.
What year might that have been? 2003?
2003.
1937?
Yeah, 2003.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are mine. Yeah. I'm watching lots of horror movies. If everyone needs me, needs a recommendation, please let me know.
Corey, what you watching?
Yeah, and I'm like, I guess watching some horror movies, but they're all horror movies I've seen before, and I'm just rewatching. Like, I just rewatched It, and I don't know. I love it. I think it's a great remake.
Which year are we talking? Are we talking 1991? We talking 2018?
Yeah, the 2018 one, right. Although I do want to go back and rewatch the original. I used to love that when I was a teenager.
It's
I watched
so
it so
bad.
Many times. Yeah.
It's not bad, but it has not aged super well. Definitely has like great 90s miniseries vibe.
That's what I'm expecting. Yeah. I mean, you can't tell.
Tim Curry.
Yeah, Tim Curry just chewing the scenery, the ha 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 ha. You just can't tell this story as a, you know, broadcast television miniseries. Like, it's just not gonna work. I don't know, I rewatched Cabin in the Woods. It sucks that, you know, Joss Whedon is a piece of crap, but like, holy hell, is that just a super solid movie?
It's fun.
Beginning to end. I don't know. I can't remember. I don't nothing of great importance. That I've been watching.
Wizard, what you been watching?
I have not really been watching all that much. I did get a Shudder subscription for spooky season, so I'm going to soak up some scary, scary picks.
I wonder how much they see their subscription spike during...
Let me know.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to check out Autopsy of Jane Doe, because that sounds super fun.
Oh, yeah, you'll love it. Dude, have you ever seen, because another one I was going to mention, have you seen Kill List? Because they just added Kill List.
No, I haven't seen that.
I am one of my favorite subgenres of horror is folk horror.
Yep.
And Kill List is one of my favorite folk horror movies. Kill List. It is, I watch it like once a year because I just love that movie so much.
Cool. Sorry. Yeah, see, I'm super,
interrupting a lot.
No,
sorry,
not at all.
I'm
super excited to just kind of kick back and watch some scary movies for the next couple of weeks and see what I've been missing. I don't consume a lot of horror movies. I'm more of a horror like book reader. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what I've been missing. So I'm excited for that. I mentioned it off air last week, but for spooky season, I am reading, I'm just about to finish, it's not a long book, Harold Schechter, true crime writer Harold Schechter, and comic book artist Eric Powell released a book called Did You Hear What Eddie Gein Done? Which is a real fun true crime graphic novel. Eric Powell did the comic The Goon back in the early 90s for you old comic heads. Great book. It's just like a fun like true crime rip, really well illustrated, really enjoyable reconstruction of the life and times and crimes of Edward Gein, who most folks probably know by now, served as the inspiration for Norman Bates and Psycho and Leatherface and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, kind of a big figure in American history and especially in American horror. Very crafty gentleman, loved crafts, let's say. So I've just really been in, I've just
HP.
Been enjoying that.
Lovecrafts.
Lord. I've just been enjoying getting in the vibe, in the October vibe, even as the temperature spikes and grows ever higher and hotter here in sunny Toronto. Angela, what are you watching? Languid films have you been enjoying?
I watched the first, second, and third John Wick films.
Not languid.
What did you think of the first trilogy?
That's that guy's having a really bad day, like really horrible. That's horrible. I was on a work trip and there was nothing else to watch, and I was like, I guess I could. This is so outlandish. I can't believe any of it. So I'll just put this on. It wasn't bad. I enjoyed. It was a thing. But something I really did enjoy was Solar Babies. Have you ever seen Solar Babies? Anybody here?
I've heard of that. What is that?
It's like this 1986 future dystopia where there's no water and children are raised in pseudo prisons where they play roller skate hockey, and they spend the whole movie roller skating across the desert with a alien orb called Bodhi. Yeah, is weird as fuck. With
this
Jason Patrick.
Some real Zardoz shit.
This yeah.
Is, this sounds awesome.
It is awesome. I highly recommend it. I feel like you would enjoy it. It's like total like Goonies level weirdness with Lucas Haas is in it. Jason Patrick, Peter DeLuise. It's an unusual movie. And the bad guy looks a lot like Donald Trump. So that is somehow satisfying. And then the last movie, which is also absolutely bizarre, and props to my friend Andy for delivering on the weird films, Jesus Christ Vampire Hunter, which is a Canadian film shot on 16mm, hilarious, made in like 1999. It's like as if your friends got together and decided to make a movie about vampire lesbians and Jesus Christ as a vampire killer. It is just absolutely bizarre. Highly recommend.
Talking Hamburger, real classic.
Oh yeah, so
has,
God,
has the production
God is
values
talking.
Of a skate video.
Yes, and then there's also he has a new film that just came out about like drag queens, and there's another one that's like a western. I need to find those and watch them because it's just silly and absurd, and I love that stuff. It was good. Anywho, that's it for our show today, everybody. Thanks for listening. I hope you have time to watch The Blue Caftan, and appreciate you guys all listening and putting up with long, languid, slow-paced cinema.
Woo.
And next week we're watching Irma Vep, and hopefully you will join us for that as well. Bye.
Bye.
Yay. Bye. Thank you so much.
You get me a cat.